Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2026, and we're continuing to read from the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 34, the last paragraph. How then should we help our readers determine, through to the top of page 35, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. Today's readers are Vanessa G, who will read the text, Cara L, a vision for you, and Shelley E is our backup. Alex K is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, April 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,411. And for Thursday, April 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,419. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Lisa W. in Denver to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Lisa. I will now ask Beth F. in California to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Good morning. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you to Beth and Lisa for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement is for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. Page 34, the third paragraph, which is at the bottom of the page, starts with, how then shall we help our readers determine? And it ends at the top of page 35, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. I will now ask Vanessa G. in New Mexico to start reading and then share with us. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G., a compulsive overeater in New Mexico, recovered in New Mexico. Okay. How then shall we help our readers determine to their own satisfaction whether they are one of us? The experiment of quitting for a period of time will be helpful, but we think that we can render an even greater service to alcoholic sufferers and perhaps to the medical fraternity. So we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking. For obviously, this is the crux of the problem. So I'm just going to really focus on that last sentence. The mental states that precede a relapse are obviously the crux of the problem. I looked up the word crux. And what came out was this description: the most vital, pivotal, or central point of the problem, often referred to as the heart of the matter. So, you know, this is really vital, important, you know, almost, you know, something that I can't miss with the rest of the chapter. They're going to give me three examples of the type of mental states or the type of thinking that precedes my relapses. And these mental states make it absolutely impossible for me to control and manage my food intake, my eating disorder. You know, I have no defense against my thinking, against my mental states. This is where I need my most healing. And these three examples that are coming up, you know, really center around three mental states. You know, the first one is, you know, the story of a man named Jim, and that's about trying to be normal, minimizing my problem, justifying my problem, you know, really, you know, doing little mental gymnastics around why this time it's going to be okay. The second one is the jaywalker, and that's, you know, the effect seeking. I'm looking for, you know, some type of drug effect from my food, you know, maybe looking for sedation, but also, you know, another time looking for euphoria, looking for some way to change my mood with food. And then the last example, and you'll see that, is a man named Fred. And that's about when we don't even think about it at all. We don't consider consequences. We don't consider what, you know, overeating has done to us in the past. We don't consider, you know, what might happen at all. We just, forget. It's called a strange mental blank spot. And I have no defense against my thinking. I hear it on this line several times, a sick mind can't heal a sick mind. So my only solution is finding a power greater than myself and experiencing the miracle of the 12 steps. By going through those 12 steps, I experience that miracle. And so, as I go through the rest of this chapter, I try very hard to identify with these three examples and see how I do that with food. What I do to try to be normal, to try to think that I'm normal, what affects and how sometimes I just totally forget that I'm a compulsive overeater prior to recovery, prior to finding God. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. All right, so if you came in while Vanessa was speaking, let me tell you the paragraph we are sharing on today. Bottom of page 34 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. How then should we help our readers determine through to the top of page 35, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please, please, please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And as a reminder, if you shared earlier on the the early 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, you can't share here. So what I need from you is your first name, last name, and the state or country you're calling from today. Who would like to share?
Lori C. in Colorado.
Thank you, Lori.
Veronica B.
Thank you, Veronica. Good morning.
Luann C.
And
Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. Yep. Got my name, my wordle game of where you're from going. Okay. Who else would like to join this first lineup?
Janice PM from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Janice. And who else came in with Janice? Sorry? I hear a lot of crackling noise.
Jan C. in Denver.
And somebody's unmuted and you're crackling wrappers on paper and it's very loud. So if you could mute, please. Who else would like to share?
Heather Y. from Texas.
Thank you. Anyone else? Or I'll close out this first group. Going once, going twice. All right, here's who I have. Laurie C., Veronica B., Luann C., Janice P.M., Jan C., and Heather Y. Good morning, Laurie C. in Colorado. Start us off, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Susan, for your service. It's great to hear your voice in the morning. This reading. I have recently returned to a practice of writing one of the tools of the program that has worked really well for me in the past. So don't ask me why I got away from doing that. I made a fellowship call yesterday and it was suggested that I do some two-way prayer, which I used to do. I don't know why I quit doing it. But this morning I'm getting ready to go on vacation next month. And last time I went on vacation, I relapsed. Well, the reading this morning really spoke to me about what I just wrote about just minutes before, about relying on my higher power to step in and be the power I need to not relapse while I'm on vacation. And I am so grateful for that and to be here with everybody today. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, as long as I do what I'm supposed to be doing, which is using the tools of the program, including writing, that seems to be one of the main ways God speaks to me. And, my insane thinking has me doing other things. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. Welcome to all the newcomers. Please keep coming back. I pass.
Thank you, Laurie C. in Colorado. Next, we have Veronica B. in California. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning, Susan. So great to hear your voice. Veronica, compulsive overeater, recovered today in California. It's so great to be on the line. And, you know, this chapter more about alcoholism. For me, my disease, I discovered eating and throwing up at the age of 15, and that had become a way of life for me. And I did that behavior for 15 years. And until I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. And for me, I know today in my heart that it's an illness of the mind, that this alcoholism centers in my mind. It centers in my thinking. The food is but just a symptom, which means that, you know, my real problem is that I am someone that's just maladjusted to life. I have a hard time living today in just my skin and just being okay with myself. I need food to help me just live in today and to just show up as I am, because of this mind that tells me that I'm no good, a mind that tells me that I'm, you know, a piece of dirt. So what I do, I use food to soothe that hole that I have inside. It's a spiritual hole that I have inside. And so I used to use food to fill that hole. And the only solution for me is to fill my hole with God, a power greater than myself. And with God's help, I can do anything today. With God's help, I can follow a food plan. With God's help, I can go with the flow of the day. You know, with God's help, I can, you know, be useful, help somebody else. But I can't do it with God's help. And without being in the middle of this program, there are certain things I have to do every day just to get my mind right, to get my mind on God's path. It's a lot of things I do. Prayer and meditation in the morning. I have to log on to a meeting. I have to make phone calls. I have to read. It takes a lot for me to get on this God's flow, as you can say. And for me, I know that I have an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind, and only God can arrest that. So, with that, I pass. Everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. Next, we have Luann C. in Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for leading us this morning, and great shares so far. Thank you for helping me. I'm Luann C., and I'm so grateful to be recovered and on my feet in Boise, Idaho. This paragraph, which introduces the next fellows, is an important reminder for me of how the success and blessings of the program can be just forgotten in an instant. The phrase mental states that precede a relapse, that stands out to me because it points me to the larger part of my addiction, the mental part. And for me, the mental state I was in before I picked up was basically I was spiritually unfit. And it was important for me to recognize that for the future. You know, I had been abstinent for 2.5 years. It was a good abstinence. It was solid. I was no longer binging. I mean, it was really great, but it was starting to like blur the lines of, you know, what was on the food plan and what I would report. And, you know, my 10 steps and my two-way prayer were occasional, and depending on if I thought I needed it. My outreach calls were really an obligation in order to stay abstinent instead of making a human connection. You know, abstinence was my goal, not to be united with my higher power. And I was always in fear of losing it. And, you know, sponsoring, I did that because I was told that it'd keep me abstinent, you know, not to, you know, help a suffering human being or to seek my higher power's will. That was the state of my mentality when a thought popped in my head that if I dried strawberries, they'd be sweeter. And, you know, I told my husband I was going to do this for him because, you know, he would love that, although he never asked for it. And he never found out if they were sweeter because, of course, I ate them all, you know. But I'm grateful for that lapse because it set off alarm bells that caused me to panic and find someone I could be honest with because I suddenly felt the enormity of what I had just put into jeopardy. And that was about a year ago. And, you know, I found a new sponsor. I worked the steps over. I changed my abstinence state. But really, I'm grateful for it because it was really my higher power calling me to get closer and, you know, to get rid of all these things. You know, in the last year, I've gotten rid of behaviors and foods. I just never recognized they were coming between me and my higher power. And, you know, today, that's my goal, you know, is to see how, what do you want me to do today, God? You know, what can I do to get everything out of the way to keep me united with my higher power? And I am so grateful for that, this journey. And I'm just so grateful for you guys that keep reminding me every day of the dangers, you know, so I can stay alert. So thanks for letting me share.
That's time. Thank you. Perfect timing. Thank you, Luann C. in Boise, Idaho. Next, we have Janice P.M. in Massachusetts. Good morning, Janice.
Well, thank you so much. This is, my name is Janice P.M., and I am a grateful, really grateful, recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Massachusetts. You know, this chapter over and over, and I've been in a long time, which doesn't mean anything. Because I'm just starting, not just starting, but it took me a long time to figure this out. Now, I had to know what my mental obsession was. What is it? It generally, it's my ideas, my reasoning, my excuses, my, well, if I'm happy, I got to eat. If I'm sad, I got to eat. If I'm lonely, I got to eat. All these emotions, being tired, you better eat before you go to bed. That's what I used to do. I really was out to seek the knowledge of how I can handle my physical problem. I was abnormal. I am an abnormal compulsive overeater. But I just wanted to seek, you know, the right food plan. However, my thoughts got in my way because I will never, because I know that today, become physically normal. You know why? Because when I pick up a certain substance or ingredients, what happens? A craving. And it will always, not just once in a while, maybe once in a while, but I can't believe that. For me, the craving will always hit us. And if I drink or if I eat that substance, it just will. I can't have one thing, a cookie or a bite of donut. I mean, I just can't because my physical, I have to be reborn again. Okay, so now, I always fell to the mental obsession. My mental obsession, then to the physical craving, and then off to the races. Now, what was my problem? Now, I know we say we have the crux of the problem is mental, and it is. It is. My mental thinking, we used to say, and I don't hear it too much, the thought action is born in thought. Right? All actions are born in thought. Thought is my mind. All actions. Well, if it's born, that means it's here, right? Now, if it's not born, then it's not in my mind. Well, I can't get rid of that, can I? Because I'm powerless. I am powered by my self-will forever and ever. Unless thank you. Unless I find the power, I'm wrapping up, dear, the power to get rid of my self-will, my commands, et cetera, et cetera. And let me tell you, everybody, the solution is in these 12 steps to change my mind. With that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Janice P.M. in Massachusetts. Next, we have Jan C. in Denver. Good morning, Jan. Jan, you're probably trying to unmute. Jen C. in Denver. All right, I'm going to go to Heather Y. in Texas and try you afterwards, Jen. Heather, are you there?
Hi, yes, thank you. This is Heather. I can be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Heather Y., a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and bottom-of-the-barrel food addict. And so grateful to be with you all this morning. Welcome, everyone. What a great way to start the day. And I'm really grateful to this meeting. I rarely share because usually I'm in Central Time and have a day job. So usually it's like the day is getting going around this time, but today is a slow day. So just wanted to hop in, particularly because I was thinking while we were reading this chapter, I don't think I pay attention that much to this one because of the page breaks, as cheesy as that sounds. But if you have the hard copy, this is where the page breaks. And as the wonderful first share and previous shares have explained, this is a disease of the mind. So the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. I don't even know what to say about this. As a relapse survivor, my sponsors, I've been in the room since 2019. Eating disorders are what brought me here. And the only thing that's worked for me is weighing and measuring everything I put into my mouth. But I still have these thoughts of, you know, I can substitute for that, this for that, or that looks good enough. But my sponsor keeps saying regularly, my eyes are broken, and my eyes are broken. But this paragraph reminds me and really wants to drive home the fact that it's not just my eyes, my brain, my mind is also broken. Because what interprets the things that our eyes see, our mind, right? So I have a broken brain and a broken mind. I think I'm getting better at accepting the broken eyes part, but I have a tough time accepting the broken brain. I have multiple mental health diagnoses to disprove this, and yet I still will not accept this. but gosh, this is just scary of any moment that insanity can hit, even and especially when I think things are going okay. And I love that word crux. That was described earlier. That this is the weight of everything for us, the crux of the problem, our mind. So it isn't just the food. And it's funny too, because with the food in its place, I feel like I'm emotionally hungover this morning. And I was thinking this morning before the call, wow, I feel like I've had a physical eating binge. This really has nothing to do with the food. It's so much deeper, and I have no hope against this thing except for God and y'all. And
that's time.
I think that's all I want to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather, so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I take another lineup, Jan C. in Denver, are you there? Okay, perhaps Jan had to leave. All right. So, as a reminder, we value your experience greatly, but we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. So, if this is your third day and you'd like to share on this one paragraph at the bottom of page 34, how then should we help our readers determine through to, for obviously this is the crux of the problem, what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today. Who would like to share? Okay, I heard five people talk together, but I believe I heard a Sherry.
Yes, Sherry H.M. Washington.
Thank you.
Ronnie.
All right, one assistant.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie G. in Missouri.
Polly Q.
Polly Q. Thank you. Sounded like more than three people. Anyone else would like to share? Thomas, I heard you. Thomas, you'll give us your last name. I remember you said you were calling in from California. And who else was with Thomas?
Rob H.
Rob H. And Rob, where are you calling from?
Upstate New York.
Fantastic. All right, so that's 369. Okay, I think that's going to take us almost to time. So I have Sherry HM in Washington State, Ronnie G in Missouri, Polly Q, who will tell us where she's from, Thomas, who will give us his last initial. He's from California, I believe, and Rob H in upstate New York. So Sherry, take us away. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is Sherry HM, Sherry with a C, calling from Washington State. And this is a great reminder, reading about the prelapse that happens before the relapse. And for me, it's really about that buildup of emotions. And we see it throughout all the stories in the whole book. It's like, you know, trying to hold that beach ball underwater. And this morning there was something, you know, eating at me, and I thought, oh, it's all good. I can, it's no, not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, no, nope, wait a minute, wait a minute. So, you know, I took it to my higher power, whom I call God, and, you know, prayed about it. And then I'm going to, you know, make a call, make my 10th step, because otherwise that beach ball of feelings, right, I'm just stuffing it down and poof, it goes up, up fast, out of the air, and it always lands where I'm in the arms of my refrigerator, and I don't want to do that anymore. I haven't really done that for quite a few years other than a few slips. But yeah, if I don't deal with those feelings, then that's where it's going to end. And so I love that they're talking about the crux of the feelings. I think it's, you know, having a case of humanitis. We all feel stuff. And then, I mean, sometimes I can, you know, give it over to my higher power. And then, you know, I take that little fishing pole in my back pocket, so to speak, and I just reel that thing back in, you know, and I'm not like truly giving it up. And the phone calls work, the 10 steps, they work. I have to do it. And sometimes I'm not willing for a while, and that is going to lead me into the arms of my fridge. So thanks so much for your service, and I pass.
Thank you. So that was Sherry HM in Washington State, and she spells her name with a C if you're trying to look for her on the member list. Next, we're going to Missouri. Good morning to Ronnie G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ronnie B, as in boy, in Missouri. And
oh,
so
sorry.
Grateful.
Thank you.
Oh, I just do that in case somebody would like to call. So as I'm listening to the phone meeting, I decide I could dust something, and my throat's not taking to that. So excuse me if I, like, go on mute for a second and cough. But this paragraph is priceless to me, and it's priceless because when I look at the crux of the problem, I'm a compulsive overeater. I have binge foods, red, very red foods, that if I pick those up, I could dilute myself. I can have a delusion thinking, oh, my God, Ronnie, it's over 7 years. Well, of course you could get, a gallon of ice cream and eat it over the course of a week. I've never done that. I've gotten a gallon of ice cream, and I'll start by eating so much of it. And then I'm like, I've done this. And I'll have the second portion for lunch. And if there's anything left over, I'll have that for dinner. So I will eat it until it makes me sick. And then the sickness will go away for a couple of hours. I'm like, oh, my God, there's no reason why I can't finish it. My mental capacity for understanding the illness once I pick up the food is gone. So I do have to pay attention to that, and I do. And when I speak with my sponsor, we have routine calls. You know, I start out by saying, did I have any cravings this week? Did I have any slips this week? No, just to, like, level set the program. And sometimes I do get a craving, And sometimes it's related to some emotion I don't want to pay attention to. But I'll be honest, that's not generally it. I'm driving, I pass a Dairy Queen. And I'm like, there's no reason in the world for me to not go in there. Most of the time, I laugh at that. Because, of course, there's reason why I don't want to go in there. And if I don't get the reminders from the meetings, because the medicine for me is in the meetings, if I don't get these reminders, I'll dilute my thinking again into like telling myself, 7 years, you'll be okay. What will happen most likely is I will lose that 7 years, and that's not even the biggest part, is that I won't come back. And I want never to think I couldn't come back. But isn't it better if I just stay and don't go out? Anyway, that's what I have. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you so much. And that was Ronnie B. for Boy in Missouri. Next, we have Polly Q. in Northern California. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning, moderator. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's so interesting because I'm going to tell you real quick what happened to me this morning. I have a lot of years in the program, and I'm abstinent, and, you know, I have a food plan, and I sponsor lots and lots of people. I am sponsored. I'm working this brand new spiritual program as well. And so this is what happens. So I start thinking about things. You know, that's really the crux of the problem. I'm an addict, and I'm a human, and I have this ego between my brain, and I start thinking about problems. And it occurs to me, wow, I didn't do a 10th step yesterday. But it doesn't occur to me about like that right away. And even after I think about it, I think, oh, well, I'll do one later on. Okay. Now, I'm abstinent for a lot of years, okay? And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a big problem, and it is. And so I go through this 10th step. Oh, it's a resentment. What am I resentful at? I'm obviously resentful at something because I'm seeing the problems of the world. And then I have to list the cause, he, she, it, the world. And then how does that affect me? Well, it affects I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to whittle down a little bit on my self-esteem. My personal relationships are going to be affected today if I keep that frame of mind. It affects my pride, my ambitions, my emotional and financial security. It's right out of the big book, folks. Where are my mistakes? Where have I been selfish? Where am I in self-pity, dishonest, or afraid? Oh, my gosh, I can list it. And I do this frequently enough that while two people were sharing, I did that 10th step. And then I do the turnover process, which is what I got from the people in this vision meeting when I first came here. I thank God. I give it to God. I hand it over to God. I ask that please remove my fears. I've added resentments, expectations, and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I accept and forgive it all. All of it. Me, them, it, the world, my boss, my work, and God. And that's it. Then I turn my attention to someone or something I can help. It doesn't have to be in the program. And I get on with my day. And I did that while you guys were all sharing. Oh my gosh, I feel I'm 180 degrees from where I was. I have to do this step every day. And then
that's time.
My food will fall right into place. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you, Polly Q in Northern California. And as a reminder, please stay muted until I call on you to share. Next, we have Thomas in California. And Thomas, if you could share with us your last initial. Thank you so much. Go ahead, please. Thomas, press star one.
Thomas,
say you are now. Thank you.
Thomas, I.
Okay, go ahead and share with us.
My name is Thomas. I am a compulsive eater from California. You know, I was listening to Harlan on the Scottsdale group, and I just you know, I've been compulsive overeating ever since I can remember. I remember when I went with my friends and one of the neighbors offered some cookies. I ate the whole plate of cookies and then he scolded me and said that was rude, disrespectful, don't ever do that again. And so I can remember compulsive overeating from a very early age. But recently I saw something else, like somebody was speaking on a meeting and I saw the destruction that I was causing, like all the other stuff besides the eating. And it just, it, and I think over and over, like it's going to be different this time. Like I'm not going to eat. And I know getting that ice cream that I'm going to be sick the next day and I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to run so I feel better. It's just, it's insanity. Like I finally can see all of it. Like I'm causing destruction with people, family, friends. Like it's never going to be different. Like, and if I don't know what I'm doing that's keeping me from eating, you know, it could be the vision meeting. It'd be working with my sponsor. Like if I'm not spiritually fit, like I'm going to eat. Like I'm a compulsive eater. Like I'm not like other people, you know, and I think that I am, you know, I think, you know what, I can go to Baskin Robbins and I can just, no, it's never going to happen. Like I'm going to eat until I'm completely sick. There's going to be crumbs all over my bed. I'm going to wake up pissed off, angry. I'm going to have to run again. Like if I'm not spiritually fit, like I'm going to put the food in my face. Like even now I got some animal crackers up in the cabinet that are my kids and they have been talking to me for like 8 days. Yeah. And I know I need to probably talk to my sponsor and get rid of those things, but like food talks to me. Like I'm looking at, I'm out on a restaurant and I'm looking at this lady. I don't even really know this lady. And I'm like pissed off that she's leaving these pepperonis on her plate. And I'm thinking, God, I really want to just eat those. Like I'm looking at your food, my food. Like this is like my friend. I don't know. I'm just grateful. The last 9 days have been amazing. And I know, you know, that because I'm in another program, I know I got to get busy and I am busy. But I know there's a lot of things, and this is way bigger than the food. The food is just a symptom of my mind, which is the problem. And I don't know. I'm just grateful that I can see the bigger picture. It's not just the food. Like, it's just total destruction of my whole life. So, anyways, I'm really grateful for you guys, and I'm grateful to have 9 days. It doesn't seem like much, but it is one day at a time, Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Thomas, and we're so glad you're here with us. Next, we have Rob H. in upstate New York. Good morning, Rob.
Thanks. Yeah, I live in a little town called Greenwich, but it's in New York. It's pronounced phonetically, not like downstate. So, what I get out of this paragraph... How shall we help our readers determine to their own satisfaction whether they're one of us? So how did I know that I am one of the people that wrote this book? Because they described, like the first share said, the mental states that would precede a relapse. I'm just so grateful for all these shares. I mean, I identify with almost every single person that's said something, you know, from the beginning of the meeting. And I just wanted to, say that I identify with it all, you know, and these emotional states. You know, the thing that hit with me most is the whole broken brain thing. You know, I work at a psychiatric inpatient hospital, and you know, when you're 400 pounds, you don't really think that there's anything wrong. For me, I didn't think there was anything wrong. You know, I didn't think there was anything wrong. I was over 400, still working a job. You know, I still held down a job. The rest of my life wasn't that great, but I still had a job, so things are going okay. What drives me to the food, just struck me too. Like when I was a kid, I don't remember this, but my mother told me, that one time we were at a family member's house and I just threw a tantrum because there was some ice cream that I wanted. And it's like, thinking about it now, it's like, well, why the hell do I want that ice cream when I'm such a little kid? Why, you know, why does any kid want that ice cream? You know, there's no real reason behind it, you know, except like maybe it tastes good, maybe. But like, what happens if I don't get it? You know, I throw that tantrum. I have to have it, you know. And there doesn't need to be a reason, you know. It's just this craziness that goes on. So, like I said, I'm just grateful to be on the meeting. I haven't shared in a while, but you know, I'm still here, still hanging out, and I prayed and meditated this morning. You know, I haven't been doing that, you know, religiously, as you'd say, but I haven't been doing that very much, and so I did it the past 2 days. And, you know, it wasn't much, but I did it, you know, pray and meditate. And now for the rest of the day, I got to do things one thing at a time. You know, what's the next right action? Okay. And I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. All right. We have time for one more share. So if you're holding out, press star one and the first voice I hear will get it. Nobody wants to share in this fabulous paragraph.
Liesl S.
Go ahead. Thank you, Liesl.
Hi, it's Liesl, compulsive overeater from California. I just wanted to share, I feel God working in me. And I know I just want to give so much thanks to this program, because it's through this program that I discovered God. And, you know, every day I hand it over to him. I had a lot of disruptions at work yesterday. Like, for example, I had all these groceries in my hand because we had an event at work, and the bag split and they fell open on the floor, and I was carrying them into the office. And at the same time, I had my earbuds in and I was in a meeting, and my staff just looked at me and I just carried on. I was still like doing the meeting, and my voice tonality was still at this pace right here. And I was just like, well, there goes those groceries, and, you know, just carry on. I was like, oh, that's sanity. And that is definitely God. That is totally God. And I'm just, you know what? I'm powerless over all this stuff. People, places, things, stuff at work. And, oh, this is the other thing. I found myself looking at everyone in the eye yesterday and like just welcoming people. And that's program, because I used to be afraid of people and being seen, and hugging people, like being able to receive a hug, like putting my hand on somebody's arm. I used to like repulse this type of stuff, and all of a sudden it's happening. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I'm telling you what, it's program, it's God, it's
time,
this place. Liesl. Thank you. So that may not be on track with the reading, but I'm just here to say that this program works. So keep praying.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Liesl S. in California. Thank you to Team Thursday for the month of April. Vanessa G., Cara L., Shelley E., Lisa W., Beth F., please stay on with Alex K. and Leslie M. if you need a sponsor or are an available sponsor. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shelley E., will you please close us out with a vision for you? Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Susan. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Excuse me, the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. He shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.